Okay, would you turn to Luke chapter 20? I'll just introduce our subject, which we covered this morning twice, once at 9. Is that Greg Mitchell? Greg, great to have you. Greg lost eardmally last week, and he's here with us tonight. And love him up and give him a hand right now. Praise the Lord. Good to have you. So turn with me to Luke 20, just for a few minutes. I asked Pastor Bob Colban to share a word tonight. Okay, are we all right? Am I missing something? We good, right? I asked Pastor Colban to share tonight, and then Pastor Eugene Davis on this subject, the one that we covered this morning. Now, some of you maybe missed this morning, or you don't know about it online, or you. So just to recognize, just to say a few words here. In the chapter, Luke 20, you see a group of people that are trying to catch Jesus in his words and in his way of thinking. They were trying to catch Jesus. They had a strategy. They were very smart people, and they knew their Bible very well, and they didn't like Jesus because he was different. That's a point we want to make tonight. If we hear from Jesus, if we are in fellowship with Jesus, we will be different. We will be different. And it's hard to explain to somebody. It just is different. It's different. And these people are really against him. They're really against him. So you have two levels. We illustrated it this morning by before modern navigation on the sea, they would have two compasses, one on the deck for the pilot of the boat, the ship. But it wasn't dependable because of the magnetism of the magnet and the steel hull of the ship. So they had another compass up high in the mast. And that compass was more true. And they could compare. But that was the one they trusted. The one up there. And we said this morning that if we go by our compass that is down here, down low, we may be misled by the voices, by the forces that are here in this world, that are in my own heart and my own life. And I may not recognize it. I think I'm right, but actually, I could be very wrong. So, Jesus came, and his communication is totally from the Father. And from the Father, he speaks to us regarding life. The ministry in these troublous times is based on hearing what God has to say to us. And to be very honest, there are some people that drift away from God and they get so involved in their struggles and in their life and in their search for things and search for solutions and for restoration and their search for equality and their search for fairness and justice. Micah the prophet said, what does the Lord love? What does he look for? They that walk justly love mercy and walk humbly. Three things. Right now, We hear a lot about the search for justice, and we want it. And justice is an important part of life. But what if I don't have it? I need to hear the voice. Because Jesus didn't have it. They hated him and eventually said, "We're getting rid of him." And he was crucified. That's not justice. But what happened? The Father had a plan. And the Father raised him from the dead. And the Father gave him a throne. What am I saying? But we are in troublous times, and there's a compass that's not from the human heart, and it's not from the world around me. It's a compass that comes from the Word of God and the Spirit of God that speaks to our hearts and teaches me to forgive, teaches me to pray, teaches me to serve, fills us with the Holy Spirit, and leads us in faith. There are many things we can say about it. There are people that are jealous. There are people that are afraid. There are people that are alone. There are people that have been ripped off, mistreated. There are people that have suffered with broken hearts and terrible sins in life. Terrible things that have happened to people. What do we say about it? Jesus said, "Come unto me. Come unto me. Learn of me." Okay, where, what? Learn of me. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly. Take my yoke upon you. So I'm excited about listening to these two men of God. So we'll do one, Pastor Bob Colban, then Emma Shibley, the fine daughter of that man sitting down the front row. He is going to sing a special song after Pastor Colbert. So we're happy about that. Then Pastor Eugene. And then we'll have a wrap tonight with Pastor Steve Antolonis and some graduates. And some of us will be out there drinking coffee and having fellowship. Right now, welcome Pastor Bob Colbert.
Good evening. So I listened to the message at 9, Pastor Schaller speaking about the compasses. And then I was, my wife and I were also here at 11. And we heard it again, and it was interesting. Sitting next to the canons, but actually we were parked next to the canons at the 11 o'clock service. And before service started, we were talking about the 9 o'clock service and how what an amazing message it was and how much it was needed for our lives personally and I think for all of us. And then after the 11 o'clock service, we talked about the 11 o'clock service and the message again and how much we need to hear this. And I saw Pastor Schaller in the parking lot after that, and I said, "We need to hear that again." And he said, "Good, you can talk about it tonight." So here I am. So, but really, Pastor, the messages have been those, because this is, I'm not going to speak long. There's a lot that can be said about thinking with God, and that's really how I would title it. And like there, when we are confronted with anything, whether it's something personal in our lives, a trial, a situation, something that we didn't plan on, you know, whatever it could be, there's so many different types of things, and each one of us probably maybe is facing something right now in our lives personally. Or whether it's something that the world is going through with a virus or this country with, the injustice and things that are going on. We can react to all of these things two different ways. I mean, it's very simple in one sense. And we can react emotionally, with our opinions, we can listen to, and I'm sure we all have realized this through the virus and through the last week, that if you watch different news broadcasts or different YouTube or whatever you get your source, or the 11 o'clock news, or however you get your source of information, it's everything from this here to this on the other side. It's like you can be spinning like a top with all this information. You got to wear a mask. It's the only thing that's going to save humanity. You don't need masks. They don't do anything for you. And where are we? We're like this. What do I know about a mask? I don't know anything. You know, do I wear a mask? Do I don't wear a mask? It fogs up my glasses. I don't like a mask. But if I'm going to destroy humanity, I should wear a mask. Who do you listen to? In every situation, there is this opinion and there is this opinion. And then there is us. Like, who do we listen to? Who do we listen to? Does this guy, I like what he says, but does he have an agenda? I like what this guy said, but does he have an agenda? Is he really, is, you know, his facts and his facts, these are the facts. No, these are the facts. Well, what are the facts? I mean, I don't know. It's like crazy, right? I mean, you know, and then even in our own lives, you know, we get the same way sometimes with trials and things, and we're like, what is going on? And it's like this level, there's just so much coming at us, so many voices, and we have to make it, and also from within us. It's not just outside, it's from within. We see a video, we see somebody speaking, and it's like, oh man, I'm so angry. And I left my house the other day, so angry at something. And I'm driving to Home Depot saying, why am I so angry? But I was so angry. I mean, I just, like, unnaturally angry about something. And I just, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just said, why don't you think with me? And I almost melted in the front seat of my car. I was so embarrassed of myself for thinking and getting so angry over something I saw or something I heard. And I said, wow, I know this. I know that we're supposed to think with God. I know that, but why ain't I doing it? Why ain't I doing it? That sounds... Why aren't I doing what I know is right to do? We know this, don't we? We've been taught it for 50... Well, if you're 20 years old, you haven't been taught it for 50 years, but many of us have. We've heard this. Think with God. You know, we... In our Pauline Epistles class this year... You know, one of the things that really resonated as we studied 8 or 9 of Paul's epistles was in so many of them what Paul was saying. He says a lot, but ultimately what he's saying is, let's think with God. Hey, Corinthians, you have so many problems in your church. Read 1 Corinthians. I know Pastor Shabelli numbered them once. I don't know, was there 30 or 40 problems or more? How many? 90. 90 problems in the book of Corinthians, in the church. You know what Paul says? You're carnal. Wow. Paul, what about these other 89 problems? No, this is the problem. You're carnal, and you think and you act as a man, as a natural man. Like, wow. But what about this problem? It's, you know what? You're carnal. You're thinking about this problem as a man thinks about it on this level. And thinking that you can solve problems in the church with man's reasoning? He says, you are carnal. You act like men. You think like men. How about thinking with God? And that's when he writes 1 Corinthians 13 about love and preferring one another over each other. You know, 1 Corinthians 12, the body of Christ esteeming each other. These are things he's saying, let's think above. Let's think with God in this situation, and maybe these 90 problems will go away because we've all decided to think from a different source. So that's really, I mean, you see this all through Paul's writings. In the different churches, different problems, different situations. Hey, let's think with God in this situation. You know, this is, these I just want to read a couple of definitions here. Objectivity. We've been taught this, thinking objectively and thinking subjectively. Objectively, receiving, applying, and depending on the truth of God's word without distortion by personal feelings or personal opinions or personal prejudices. It's pretty simple, isn't it? We've been taught to think objectively. Lord, I don't know how to think about this situation. Okay, why don't you receive, apply, and depend upon the truth of my word and not mix it. This is the thing. We take the word of God. I think I'm going to add in a little bit of personal opinion. I'm going to add in a little bit of distortion by my feelings because I don't feel this is right, so I'll add some of my feelings into the mix, and what happens? I'm not thinking objectively anymore. I'm thinking subjectively. But God says, think with me. And you might say, well, what does God have to say about the virus? I don't know. I don't speak for God in that sense. I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord. But, you know, it does say in Philippians to be anxious for nothing. And everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will rule our hearts. Like, maybe that's what I need to hear in the midst of confusion about a virus. Maybe not the Lord says this about the virus, but maybe he says, hey, Bob, like, be anxious for nothing. Take no thought for these things on this level, but don't be anxious about it. But, hey, let the peace of God rule your hearts and pray with supplication, thanksgiving, and see all of a sudden, is the virus still there? Yes. Is it still something to think about, to be concerned about? I'll say it that way. Yes. But I'm not anxious anymore. I've prayed about it. I've received a thought from God to say, hey, don't be anxious about this. Don't take any thought. I've got this. Be wise, but don't be consumed by this stuff, whatever it may be. So you might say, well, that's not, is that what God says about the virus? No, but it's what God says to us in the midst of a crisis. That's receiving something and thinking with God rather than, oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't know what's going to do. I don't know what to do. This is crazy. I don't know if I should step foot out of my house because I might die. Or whatever it might be. Yeah, understand what I, or like, wow, take no thought, be anxious for nothing. Can I really think that way, God? Can I really let my life be ruled by thoughts from above? And he says, yes, you can. You know, Pastor mentioned it this morning in the, I don't know if he mentioned at 11, but he talked in James 3 about the wisdom from below. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. This is the wisdom from this level. There's an agenda. There's something behind so much of it. It's crazy. And I don't have the capacity to wade through all this stuff and find out if there's a kernel of truth in there. But I do have the capacity to say, Lord, how should I think in this situation? Can I receive something from you today? Can you calm my heart today? In verse 16, he says, for where envy and strife are, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. I just saw this for the first time just before service. I never really saw it this way. The wisdom from above is, what is it first? It's pure. You know what? You know one definition in Strong's for that is, it's pure. It is free from carnality. That really struck me. Like, this wisdom that God gives us from his word is pure from carnality. It's like clean. It doesn't have an agenda. It's just God speaking to us through his word, through his spirit, through the pulpit, whatever, however it is, and it's pure. I love that. It's pure. Like, I can say, I can believe this because God does not have an agenda to try and get me to think or act a certain way. His agenda is just that I would receive something from him for my heart to be comforted. The wisdom from above is pure. Not sensual, not earthly, not devilish, not full of opinions, even my own opinion. It's pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Wow. Like Pastor said at the 11, there are a lot of voices, Like, which voice, what voice are we going to choose to listen to? There's so many voices, but I want to choose to listen to the one voice that speaks to me with wisdom, with definition that is pure, unadulterated, not defiled by anything of this world, that's peaceable, easy to be entreated, that will comfort us. Isn't that what we need to hear? We might not get all the answers we want about every situation in the world or every situation in our lives, but we can be comforted by the Word of God in the midst of that situation. That's what we need. I remember 9/11. It was a Tuesday. And like all of us, just shocked by it. And I remember thinking, I can't wait to go to church tomorrow night. I could not wait till Wednesday night service to hear something from this pulpit. I don't know, I just needed something from God to comfort my heart in that situation. And I remember I couldn't wait to come to church to hear what the pulpit, Dr. Stevens, had to say about it. I could not wait. I was like, if there was a service Tuesday night, I would have gone immediately. I needed something from above, not chatter, not all this stuff. I needed something from above. And we have that ability. We have the mind of Christ. We have a choice. Every situation. How am I going to think? Julius said something beautiful the other night. He said a lot of things. And I was doing some work at his house, and we were talking. And he said, you know, and hopefully I'm not misquoting him. He said, I can't always control, or I cannot control what people say or what they think. But I can control how, what I say, what I think, and how I react to what they say. You understand what I say? I love that. Like, I can't control what anybody else says about me, to me, or whatever. But what I can control is, how do I respond to that? How do I think about a situation? Because I have the ability to either think and react in my emotions, my feelings, you know, my prejudices, my predetermination, whatever. Or I have the ability to say, God, give me something. In this situation, give me something in this situation. Give me peace in my heart. Give me quiet lips, maybe a quiet answer, maybe a soft answer, maybe no answer. You know? But give me something from you. And that will quiet my heart also. So this is the option, if I want to say it, option that we have as believers. We can think objectively with God. Or we can think subjectively, where all, did I read the definition of subjectivity? It just says arising from personal feelings and opinions to think and reason within oneself. It's all thinking within ourselves based on our senses, our feelings, our reactions. And I'll just close with this. I read this yesterday. It's by A.W. Tozier. And it's the story is Marks of a Spiritual Man. And he goes through a number of points, but he says, point four, a spiritual man is a man he sees everything from God's viewpoint. The ability to weigh all things in the divine scale and place the same value upon them as God does is the mark of a spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled life. Sees everything from God's viewpoint. Everything from God's viewpoint. Everything, it says. I'm like, everything? Everything. And we don't place our value upon things. We look for what does God think about this? What value does God place upon this? And then we take that for our value. Because we want to see things through his eyes and not through ours. So, that's all I have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have given us the mind of Christ, the ability to think with you. You've given us your word. You give us wisdom from above that is pure, undefiled, peaceable, easy to be entreated. You give us wisdom. You give us peace where there should be no peace. Peace that passes our own understanding. You give that to us, Lord. And we have such a privilege as believers to go to a source that is so much higher than us. and receive something from heaven, from above instead of from below. And we're just so thankful for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you stand, please? Stretch. Okay, let's just pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your faithfulness. We are well fed. We are here for our generation. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your compass. Thank you for your word. Thank you. You have anointed tonight. Speak again. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. It's amazing how the compass this morning, just that word picture, just settled in my heart. You know, there's two compasses. And a compass is it's a mechanical device, but it can be affected because we know the whole thing about a compass is magnetism, polarity, pulling. And we are like a compass. I think all of us in this time have found ourselves either being pulled one way or being pulled another. And that just lets us know how, and Pastor said it this morning with the ship, there's a compass above. A compass that is not affected by the high enough where the metal on the ship is not affecting its direction, its accuracy. And I think that is what's so needed in our country and needed in us. I love this. The definition of a compass is that which the limit or boundary of space. It is also the limits of truth. Think about that. A compass determines the limit of truth. You know, I can be pulled this way, but is it true? I can be pulled this way, but is it true? The compass lets me know which way is true. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And I love 24a, O Lord, correct me. That's a great place to be in, where I say, God, correct me. I need correction. But what's interesting, in Luke chapter 19, verse 14, it says, the citizens of the hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. There's two declarations when you are in trouble. Lord, correct me, or I'm not going to have him reign over me. I'm not going to allow his compass to direct my life. But the problem is that we don't know how to direct our lives. We are like sheep. It's amazing, a compass and a ship. You know, I was thinking about this. It says in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine, and not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And this is what it says in verse 12, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and not find it. And I think in the day and age we live in, people may not say they're looking for the word of God, but in their wandering from sea to sea, from north to east, running to and fro, they're saying, I'm a ship that I need a compass from above. And that compass is Jesus Christ. An amazing testimony this morning. There was a lady that came in service and she said, I need to get saved. First thing, came right in, I need to get saved. And I'm not sure who was at the, but prayed with her. She received Christ, sat in service, and then Cecil, the father of Jeremiah. Josh, yes, said, can you pray with this lady? And she had a situation, and I just prayed with her. She was just weeping how much God loved her. A compass, north, above. I love this. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Without the compass from above, we're thinking we're going the right way, but we don't know it's death. That's the amazing thing about how smart we are. I mean, we live in the 21st century and we think we have it all together, and God's like, you need me. I'm your compass. And it's beautiful, you know. I was thinking Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. This is such an amazing verse. And think about this with me. Paul says, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. And I love what the next statement says. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. There's so much flesh and there's so much blood that we can confer or counsel with. Well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? I don't know. I don't know. It's like, and we can be in a head spin. Our head can be spinning. We can be running to and fro. We can be exhausted because we don't know which way to go. And it's amazing. 1 Kings chapter 19. This is a great, I love this verse, this portion of scripture. It's Elijah. Right? It's amazing. Elijah has the greatest victory. And Jezebel says, tomorrow you will be as the prophets. Trouble without. And he's on the run. He's on the run. And then, you know, it's amazing. God says to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? God's still small voice from above cuts through the problems without. And Elijah has another problem. You know what he says? It is enough, God. It's enough. Kill me. I am not better than my fathers. He has problems within. He has problems without. His compass is off. He's bouncing left and right. He's running to and fro. He's exhausted. He's hungry. He's frustrated. He's depressed. And God just simply says to him, what are you doing here? It's amazing. God's compass in our life. And if I'm not careful, I can abandon the compass of God. But what's so amazing is God never abandons me. I can make my bed in hell and he's there. And he says, what are you doing here? And Elijah begins to tell God all of his problems. Lord, they're seeking your prophets to kill them, to, you know, and I'm only left. And God, this is amazing what God's answer is for him. He says to him, I want you to anoint three people. He's like, God, don't you understand? I'm on the run. I'm hungry. I have problems. Jezebel is seeking me. I don't want to live. God says, I just want you to do three things. He says, I want you to anoint Hazael, king of Syria. I want you to anoint Jehu, king of Israel. And I want you to anoint Elisha to replace you. And he says this, him that escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapes the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Oh, and by the way, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. It's amazing, God's compass. I love it. I love when God speaks in my situation, in our situations, in the world we live in. And as Emma sang, peace. But if I'm not listening to God's voice, there is no peace, right? As we read before, they did not want God to rule over them. But we are in a unique place. Don't allow the fear, the noise, the insecurity, the problems, the situation to paralyze you. Let God's compass direct your steps. Comfort your hearts. Comfort our hearts. Give us a direction that we would serve our generation by the will of God. This is amazing times we're living in. We are God's people. God is our compass. He's directing our steps. And he has an answer in our times of trouble. Just be still and know that he is God. Though your ship is going left, right, up, down, back, front, the anchor is fixed. God is not moved. Psalm 62, he is not moved. And this is beautiful. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you, God. You are our strength in the midst of the storm. You are the one, in Acts 27, Paul says, be of good cheer. No life will be taken, but the ship will be destroyed. But our lives will be saved. Father, you, in the midst of our trouble, have a word in season. You speak and we hear. You direct. There's a word behind us says, to the right and to the left. This is the way, walk ye in it. You are our compass. You are our Father. You are our shepherd. You are our King. And we are confident, not in ourselves, but in you. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been directing your ship long enough and you're going nowhere. Jesus wants to be your compass. He says, I came, I died, I identified with you. I was on the cross. I bore your sin so you would never, ever have to walk alone in this world. Say, Jesus, I believe. Thank you for dying for me. And I receive you as my Savior. Be my compass. Direct me through this world. If that is your prayer, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, just raise your hand and say, I'm receiving Christ as my Savior. Is there one in the room or online? If you are online and you are saying that prayer for the first time, send us an email. We would love to rejoice with you what great things God has done. Father, thank you that in these times, you are our compass. Your word, your grace, your truth, your promises are yea and amen. They are sure, they are fixed, they are established, and you are immovable. Therefore, we are not moved in the storm. And Father, we pray that this week, that everyone in this room, you would use us in your will to minister your thoughts in the midst of our generation. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen.